Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to the podcast. We have a great word to share with you today at Destiny Church. Sit back, be encouraged, and let's get into the word.
First time I met Gavin must have been, 20 years ago, probably. You came and you ministered to the youth group down at First Assembly of God. Hot Sauce, somebody's calling him out, was his rapper name back in the day. And so he is now married and got a beautiful wife and child, Maximilian, and he loves the Lord. Had a great time today over lunch talking about heaven. He loves the Lord, and he's a great preacher. Would you please put your hands together and welcome this man. I got a friend of ours, Mr. Gavin Tate.
Yeah, yeah.
Come and bless the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's funny, but I don't have a new name yet. So I am doing a new hip-hop album. It's been many years, but I'm not going to be Hot Sauce anymore. So go ahead and play that track whenever you're ready. Yeah, exactly. Let's close our eyes real quick. Because, you know, last night we talked about tonight was the night I'm the most excited about. We have come into the presence of God. Last night we laid the groundwork about you can't live without God. You can't survive without Him. We talked about how you have no direction without Him. We talked about how you are never at the right place. The timing seems to be off in your life when you're not close to Jesus. We talked about the importance of staying close to Jesus. But tonight's the encounter. So we're not going to wait. We're not going to take a long time. We're just going to get right into it right now. And through this word and every word that's spoken tonight, you're going to find yourself entered into a place and drawn towards someone. Jesus is going to draw you tonight. The Holy Spirit is going to draw you into an encounter. And once we take in and we receive that invitation that we talked about last night, we're invited into a place. You can open up your eyes and look up here at this scripture. Job 28 is one of the greatest places and one of my favorite examples and my favorite explaining of this place we call the secret place. It's found in the Old Testament, in the book of Job, of all places. It's like hidden here in these scriptures of one of the greatest treasures. And it's talking about the secret place of God. And it says it like this. It says, surely there is a mine for silver and a place where gold is refined. You see, in the secret place, God goes into the deep recesses of yourself. The parts about you that nobody knows, God searches them out. David says that he wants to invite God. He said, Lord, search me and know my innermost thoughts. What was he talking about? He was talking about the mind that is inside of every one of our souls that we cannot even explain our own selves. The feelings that we have that words could not explain. The yearnings we have as people that nobody else can meet. It's found in the deep places of the human soul. You know, the human soul is so big it fits eternity. Bible said he placed eternity in the hearts of men. Do you know that we can't measure eternity, yet somehow it fits inside of your soul? And God, when he is invited and you walk into the secret place, you come into a place where you say, Jesus, not only God, am I wanting to meet you, join me on the search of my own soul. You know what's great about this? You don't have to explain all the thoughts to other people. And in this place, you don't even have to say anything at all. Because everything that is needing to be explained, everything that is needing to be understood, will be understood and explained in the mind where you go deep, deep down inside. The Bible says right here, it's a place where gold is refined. Do you understand that gold is only refined after the impurities have been brought to the surface? The impurities, God takes you in the secret place and he begins to mine inside of you. He places heat in there and pressure in there, and he pulls out all the impurities to the top. This can only happen in the secret place. And he takes what comes to the surface and he scoops it aside. So now you are a purified vessel. Verse 2, iron is taken from the earth and copper is smelted from ore. Man puts an end to darkness and searches every recess. For the ore in the darkness and the shadow of death, ore in the scripture is a very precious thing. You see, every one of you have precious things inside of you. They'll never come out unless you let the one who knows how to search and find them bring them out. It's only found in the secret place. The things that make you special, the things that make your life exciting, are brought out in secret, away from anybody else seeing. Verse 5, I love this. He breaks open a shaft away from people. The shaft where it's going to be broken open, the gifts inside of you, the things that you need, the healing that you need, the power that you need, the end to the confusion is found when a shaft is broken open away from people. It is in the secret place. The Bible calls it the closet. Go into your prayer closet. It doesn't necessarily mean a place with doors. It means the own place inside of your own soul where you take the shaft and you take down into the deep places of your heart and you let God go into the places where nobody else can explain and nobody else can find. And that is broken away. You're being purified. And now you have broken open yourself like the woman who came in and broke the box at Jesus' feet and put it over his head. And where he walked around, literally, the Bible says he was prepared for burial by her sacrifice. So precious to God was that sacrifice that he said, every preacher, whoever preaches the gospel from this day forward, will be remiss if they do not preach about this woman. Because the cost of one woman who broke something that was of cost and value meant so much to Jesus that you have to understand, from the moment he was in that house, that ointment was on him. And he did not go take a shower after that time. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane. From the house to the Garden of Gethsemane. What happened in the Garden of Gethsemane? He was arrested. That means that the fragrance and the ointment that filled that house, the worship of that woman that filled that house, was filling his clothes that was on him when he went and he prayed and cried out to God. Can you imagine? He's sitting there on his knees and he's crying out to God and he's saying, Lord God, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. And then he inhaled. Oh, I can do this because there was someone who was willing to give it all. Can you imagine when they took him and they arrested him, began hitting him with his fists, and they began to drive into his sides, and they began to mock him, and they put the thorns in his head. You imagine the pain as he gasped out and screamed, and then he would breathe in. That fragrance. Oh, somebody cared enough to give it all. Therefore, for the joy set before him. You see, the fragrance was with him when they whipped him. Every single lashing, he cried out, but it was in his skin now. That fragrance of that sacrifice was in his hair. It was in his skin. It was in his beard. And he was smelling, even though the pain was coming out, he was smelling, drinking it. Somebody caring enough to give it all. And when he died on the cross, before he gave up his spirit, he remembered that somebody was willing to break something precious to them, to adorn and to love on him. Y'all, in the secret place, you break open things. Things open up in you. Parts about you you've never known. Things that you could never have ever seen. There's greatness inside of you. There's goodness inside of you. I don't care if you don't like yourself right now. It doesn't matter if you don't see yourself as anything worthy right now or see yourself as anything amazing. In the secret place, there are things broke open that no devil, that nobody can ever shut, that nobody could ever tell you could ever be closed again. Because once God opens it, you can't help but spread that incense everywhere you go. It is a place continuing in places forgotten by feet. You see, human people can't go there because it's a spiritual place. They hang far from men. They swing to and fro. As from the earth, it comes from bread, but underneath it, it's turned up by fire. Man, this is good. And verse 6, its stones are a source of sapphires, and it contains gold dust. That's so cool. Verse 7, this is my favorite part. The path that no bird knows No falcon's eye has seen it. One version says the birds of prey. Who are those? The demonic attacks of the enemy. Verse 8, the proud lion can't travel it, and the fierce lion passes over it. You see, the enemy doesn't know how to get to this path. The devil himself can't find this room. He can't find the secret place. He doesn't know how to get there. The path is hidden from him. You can literally come into a place and you can speak the password of the name of Jesus and walk into a place where you're invisible to the enemy. Invisible to the works of Satan. Invisible to the problems with our politicians. Invisible to the problems with everybody around us. Invisible to racial bias. Invisible to anything, hate, anything that you want. Anything that this world has that's low, you're invisible to it in the secret place. The devil doesn't even know where to find the path to begin to walk to it. And we're afraid of diseases, and we're afraid of pestilences, and we're afraid of things touching us and people around us and all that. But if you'd only understand that even though your body might walk into a place where other people are at, you have already been in a secret place and contained your soul and your spirit in a place that the enemy can never touch you. So you literally walk around in a self-contained quarantine zone. Because you walk around in Jesus. In Jesus. Do you think sickness touches Jesus? Psalm 91:1, pastor started reading. I love that he read it because, pastor, it's part of my sermon tonight. It says, those who live, oh, watch this, those who sit enthroned under the shadow of El Shaddai. I love this. You are hidden in the strength of God Most High. Hidden in the strength of God. Verse 2. It says, when you sit, his the hope that holds me in the stronghold to my shelter, the only God for me and my great confidence. Keep going. He will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy. It doesn't matter if you can see where COVID-19 is. He's going to rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy. And he will protect you from every false accusation and deadly curse. We're breaking curses tonight. We're breaking things that have been spoken over you since you were young. We're breaking sentences over your life. And you know, the most of them did not come from other people. They came from yourself. Speaking over yourself, curses. Speaking over yourself, you can't do it. Speaking over yourself, I failed too many times. But you know, tonight, y'all, if you'll just forget about yourself and you'll just go inward into the secret place, you'll see yourself as something different. Keep reading. He'll rescue you from every enemy. His massive arms are wrapped around you, protecting you. You can run under his covering in majesty and hide. His arms of faithfulness are a shield, keeping you from harm. Keep going. You will never worry about an attack of the demonic forces at night, nor have to fear a spirit of darkness coming against you. This is good stuff. Y'all should be shouting right now. Don't fear a thing, whether by night or by day, whether by night or by day, whether by night or by day. You see, the day and the night are the same to God. Bible says there's no day or night for God. It's all the same. He's the ruler of the day. He's the ruler of the night. And then David says, at midday, I'll praise God. I love it that the Bible made sure that every hour that was accounted for on our clock, God said, I'm in charge of it all. And I'm there too. I'm there in the midday. I'm there in the morning. I'm there at nighttime. And he says, demonic danger will not trouble you, nor will the powers of evil launched against you. Even in the time of disaster, come on now, with thousands and thousands being killed, you will remain unscathed and unharmed. My God. Ephesians 4, 23 through 24. I told you tonight that we're going to talk the practical about when you approach God, you've received the invitation, you come into the secret place. What are the steps that the Bible literally has laid out for us? Told us. The biblical steps, not getting us to guess, not hoping that we meet with God. But if this thing, meaning tangible relationship with God, is the basis of our Christianity, then we should enjoy it. If this is like what everything comes down to in every sermon we could ever hear, honestly, if you want to know the basis of every sermon and the crux of every sermon, even though we word it in different ways, here's the main message. You got to hear God for yourself. You got to get into the secret place. You got to have his presence because it does things nothing else can do. That's the message. The cross of Jesus Christ has made a way for you to come in and meet with God. And in that place, every answer you need is met. Now, if that is the substance of your Christianity, then the Bible surely gave us ways and steps in order to enter into that place practically every day. Ephesians 4, 23 through 24 says like this, it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you. You see, you're made new, listen, not by every teaching you necessarily hear. You're made new, not by new information. You're made new, not by new knowledge. You're made new when the knowledge and the information and whatever it is you hear has a voice behind the voice of God himself, and revelation, which is a spiritual thing. It's not a man thing. It's not a human thing. You can't conjure up revelation. It has to come from the Holy Spirit. That means that the way that we are continuously made new, meaning if you don't want to park in your journey with God, if you don't want to park, if you don't want to stay where you're at, if you're depressed right now and you want to like keep moving on and like get to the next season of your life, then the only condition is this. You got to hear God's voice again. Because see, you're continually made new by every revelation. In other words, the only condition to make sure progress continues is that you hear God's voice again. The moment you stop hearing God's voice is the moment you park, is the moment you stay in the place you don't want to stay, or is the moment you feel like your life is good enough and you're fine where you are and progress stops. Because listen, progress in your spirit does not keep on going without the Holy Spirit himself leading the steps. God does not permit progress unless the Holy Spirit is in the journey with you. That means he has to lead you by every word he says. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 4, 3 and 4. He's in the desert and the devil is tempting him. And we've heard these words and this is so good. He says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Listen to Jesus' words. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Listen, the word is proceeds. That word is in the continual process. It continually proceeds. And when it says every word, it means rhema. Rhema and logos are two different kinds of words. Logos is the written word, the one that's solid in heaven. Jesus himself in John 1 is called the Logos, and the word was with God and the word became flesh. The Logos, that means that the word of God, the Bible, the things we can actually see, all the words on those pages within them are the characteristics of Jesus himself. Matter of fact, the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is one huge book written about one man, Jesus. It's what it is. You can find Jesus in every book of the Bible. And it says that it's not in the Logos, but he says, I don't live every day by the Logos, because Jesus was the Logos. He said, I gotta live by Rhema. Rhema is the in-season, today, now, what I need right now word. The word in your season, in your situation, specifically to you, man doesn't live by bread alone, but it lives by hearing that living voice again. It hears by hearing that living voice when you lay down and sleep, and the living voice speaks, and you wake up in the morning and the living voice speaks, and you open up your Bible. What are you seeking? The living voice. You go to church. Why are you going to church? To see a bunch of people? It's awesome that you have a family. Thank God for it. To listen to worship? We definitely should do that. All the things of worship is, and all the pulpit is for, is so we can hear the living voice. We want the living voice. Ephesians 2, 18 and 19. Let's start approaching God now. Here's the practical. We're going to come into his presence. We know now what the secret place holds for us. We know that we have to hear his voice in order to get there, and we can't be visitors. Remember Psalm 91, all those promises are not for visitors. They're only for dwellers. They're not for visitors. They're only for dwellers. Ephesians 2, 18 through 19 says, because now we're united with Christ. Oh, this is so good. This is when we're about to approach God. This is what I do. This is what we should do. This is what the Bible tells us to do. This is the mindset before we come into God's presence. This is what you should know. We both have equal and direct access in the realm of the Holy Spirit to come before the Father. So, you have as much right to come before God as Jesus does. You have as much right to come before God as Jesus does, because you are united to him. You know, it's really important that you know when you wake up to pray, or maybe tonight before you go to bed and you're about to approach God and say, Lord, I just need another dip. Lord, I need it with you. I want you again, Jesus. Maybe, and I'm believing that tonight there's going to be a fragrance you leave with out of this building. It's going to walk away with you, and it's going to wake you up in the morning. You're going to have a song in your spirit this whole week, and I just know it's going to be all over you from this service tonight, because we're having an encounter. And when we go, and when you have that time, you come in, it's really important for you to know you have a right to be there. Well, Gavin, I'm a sinner. Yeah, but you got a right to be there. Well, Gavin, you don't know what I just did last week, but you got a right to be there. Well, Gavin, I'm not like you. I don't have a life like you. You know, I still got a lot of flesh. Well, you got a right to be there. Why? Because the next scripture, here's why you got a right to be there. And this is what made you worthy. Ephesians 2:13, look at you now. Everything is new. Although you were once distant and far away, you have now been brought delightfully close to him through the sacred blood of Jesus. So this is what I do every time I come in to pray. I realize, you know what? God wants me there, and I got a right to come in. And you know what I do, number two? I come in through the blood of Jesus. Every time I pray, I come in through the blood of Jesus. Why? And it takes 2 or 3 seconds to say, I just plead the blood of Jesus, Lord, for everything I don't even know. Maybe I sinned, maybe I did something, maybe I wasn't aware. Lord, if I hurt my wife this morning, whatever it might have been. And you'll know usually what it is if there's something you got to let go, but sometimes you don't even know. But God is so holy that he requires the blood. He's so holy, he requires the blood. You can't come into his presence without the blood, because without the blood, you look like you. Without the blood, you look like you. But when the blood touches you, you look like Jesus. So once the blood is over, you come in and you're not treated like you. You're not treated like what you deserve. You're treated like Jesus. You get what Jesus gets. You have authority like Jesus has authority. You have a place in God's presence to ask what you will as a son of God. Ephesians says we're no longer strangers, but we've been adopted literally into the family as sons and daughters. And remember, when you're adopted, you can't be disowned. God didn't do this, y'all, just to trick you out and say, you know what? I don't want you after all. He died on the cross because he meant it. One final statement for all of time. He said, it is finished. Ephesians 3, 16 through 17. Just read verse 17. Now, you see, we've been put into a place where we have a right to be there. We're sons and daughters of God. All this has been said about us, but we have this issue as humans. We don't feel like sons and daughters sometimes. We don't feel like we're seated in heavenly places above everything. I don't know about y'all, but I don't feel like I'm above everything. Sometimes I do not feel like I'm in heavenly places, right? You know, you wake up 5:30 in the morning, you know what I'm saying? Someone's crying, this person's doing this, you got some family issues going on. You ain't feeling that day like you in heavenly places, right? So you're like, oh man. So we got this issue, we got this struggle in our minds where we're said we're this thing, but we're not feeling that way. It said we're this and we choose to believe it, but we're struggling because we're not having the actual functions are not happening. We're not feeling it evidenced in our feelings. But this is what the Bible says you got to do. Verse 17. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. You see, you need faith even in prayer. You need faith in prayer. Faith in what? Faith that God says you have a right to be there. Faith that God says that you can come in through the blood of Jesus no matter what you've done, and he says you have a right to be here. Faith that God says you're a son and a daughter. See, if you have no faith, then your prayer life will not work. You literally use your faith constantly. It doesn't matter that you don't feel it. You have to literally use your faith. And by faith, I come to God today because I really need him. So I could either sit and wallow in my guilt and shame and stay away from God, or I could just say, Lord, you know, you're the only medicine that works on me. You're the only antidote to my sickness. And God, I know I'm frail. God, I know I've messed up. God, I know I gossiped again. God, I know I lied again. God, I know I did that again. God, I know I grieved you, Lord. God, I know I did these things. But Lord Jesus, I just am using my faith again, God, because you said, God, that if I plead that blood, Jesus, I could come again. I need you today, Jesus. Once you start to use your faith, you come in and you know you can have a right to be there because of the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 4:16 takes place. Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it the most. Man, how many of y'all need some grace right now? How many of y'all need some strength right now? You know, grace isn't just cover up for your sin. Grace is empowerment. Grace is power. Grace is strength that's supernatural. It goes beyond your own strength. Paul says, hey, remove this thorn from my flesh. And what does God say? My grace is sufficient for you. Take it from me, God. Why aren't you taking this from me? He said, you don't get it. You don't get it. My grace is sufficient to you. Watch it. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. He says his grace is his strength. So when you come into God's presence, you find mercy. And guess what else you get? You get some strength that you never knew you could have. You get strength that runs you, that makes you pure because you cannot be pure by yourself. You get strength that comes and makes you healthy because you can't stay healthy by yourself. You get strength that makes you patient because you've lost your patience for everybody. This is the beyond yourself. This is the where you can't go anymore. This is the patience you can't go to. This is the forgiveness you can't do. This is the parenting you can't do. This is the wisdom you don't have. It's found in grace. And when you come boldly to the throne of grace, come on now, I got somebody back there. When you come boldly to the throne of grace, you step in boldly through the blood of Jesus because you have a right to be there. What happens? You start to feel strengthened. Oh man. So now we know the mentality. Now we've approached him. Now we're boldly coming in. What's going to happen next? Ready? Here we go. We're taking the steps into God's presence. I'm making this as practical as I can because we need practical teaching that the Bible says so that we can enjoy God. James 4:8. Here we go. Oh, I love this. James 4:8. We're getting there. We're getting right to his face now. We're getting real close. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. All right, I'm going to say it again because some people don't catch it. I got to say it a couple times and then you'll catch it. I'll say it a little different. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. I'm going to say it different. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. I think somebody caught it on that one. You see, this is not a suggestion God's making. Listen, this will change your prayer life. Listen to what I'm about to say. When you come into God's presence hoping he shows up, you already have missed it. Oh, now you're getting it. You see, this wasn't a suggestion that God said. He said, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. You see, I don't come into God's presence hoping I get an encounter. And when I stopped coming in hoping I would meet with him, but I came in knowing I would meet with him, it changed my prayer life. You got to know that if you take the step, he takes the mile. What's that step, Gavin? Showing up? Just show up. Just show up. You literally, all God asks for you to do is keep an appointment on your schedule. That's all he asks. He does everything else. You got to show up. Song of Solomon 1:4 puts a twist on it. It's really beautiful. It says, draw me away, God, and we will run after you. So wait a second. James 4:8 says, I got to take the first step. Song of Solomon 1 says, he draws me away. So it's like he took the first step. So which one is it, Gavin? Do I take the first step into God's presence? Does he draw me away? What happens? Well, we get context in Romans 5:8. Now look at what it says. It said, God demonstrated his own love for us that while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for you. The Passion says it like this, but Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. So just so you know, in context, God took the ultimate first step towards you. It's called the cross. He definitely took the first step. He took the step that ripped the veil. He took the step that ripped that thing between you and him that was keeping you away from him. That thing that caused that only one man could go into his presence and you couldn't come. He took that thing away. He ripped that thing from top down. 4 inches of cloth, 4 inches thick of cloth. He ripped it down so that you and I could come in now. Now, here's my question for you. If God sent his son, his most precious treasure, to come down, to live for 30 years amongst a bunch of ragged, terrible people, to minister for 3 years just to die for all the things that he never did, to get into a womb, to get into the womb of the grave, and to come out after 3 days to resurrect you in all of that so that he could get close to you, do you really think now God's going to make it hard for you to get into his presence? We got to understand this, because we make this really hard, y'all. I don't know. I haven't felt God in so long. I've been praying. It's like I'm in a brick wall, and I don't know. I don't even know if he wants to talk to me, and I get it, you know, because I'm not really worthy of it, because I haven't prayed for about 4 weeks, so it makes sense to me that God wouldn't want to meet with me. I mean, I don't ever really give him any attention, so God did everything to take the first step. He took the longest step possible, y'all. He took the step from heaven into the womb of a woman. For 9 months, raised, snotty nose, having to work a job with a bunch of people that he knew, dear God. You imagine the struggle of Jesus, God inside of a man, God and man, all God, all man. It's crazy. And he did it for you and me so that we could meet with him. Because the end goal of those 33 years was the same goal he was trying to achieve the entire Old Testament. He wanted Eden back again. He wanted to walk in the cool of day with man again. He wanted to walk in unhindered fellowship with man again. He wanted to walk where nothing was between him and man. He could show up at 11 in the morning and man was ready to talk to him. He could show up at 6 o'clock at night and man was ready to talk to him. He could come in and out. And remember what I said, he created everything else on the days. The birds were for the air. The fish were for the water. The animals were for the land. But you were for God. And that's why he rested the day after he made you, because he finally had something that satisfied himself. He had you. You are his inheritance. So we've come into his presence. We come passionately there. We come boldly there. We draw near. We're expecting that God's going to show up. We're not hoping anymore. We expect it as we come in. And this is where it really gets good. This is the crux right here. This is what we're going for. Isaiah 40, 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles, run and not glory, walk and not be faint. Psalm 24, 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. One verse, two times it says what? Wait on the Lord. You see, there's not many times I know that sermons have been preached. I don't even know how many sermons have been preached in most churches around the world on what it means to wait on the Lord in prayer. But I'm telling you, this is where the secret's at. What does it mean, Gavin? Do I just do nothing? No. Doesn't mean you just sit there and do nothing. I'll tell you what it means. While you're waiting for Psalm 80, verse 18. It's going to be on the screen. I don't know if I've ever heard this verse really preached about, but this is the key to prayer. Psalm 80, verse 18. We will not go back from thee. Here are the words. Quicken us, and then we will call upon your name. Quicken us, and then we will call upon your name. You see, you're waiting on the Lord to be quickened. You're waiting in his presence to be quickened. Quickening is a spiritual, supernatural thing that God does, and you can't make it happen. Quickening is the moment that you're in prayer, that you're in waiting on God, and the tears start to flow down your face. Quickening is the moment that you're there and you came in fear, and you know the moment the fear washes away and you just start praising God. Even though you're heavy, the garment of praise lays on top of you. Quickening is the moment where it just became you walking around and you were aware of your surroundings, but all of a sudden time goes away, it shifts, and you walk into a place where you don't care anything's around you anymore. You are consumed with the attention of God. I don't know if there's anybody in here who knows what I'm talking about, but there's a moment that happens where you are quickened, and if you're willing to wait for it, you'll be quickened. And that's the moment that it becomes tangible. And that's the moment that you have been waiting for. So what do you do in order to get quickened? Well, there's two things that I do. Here's the first one. You get some worship music. I'm sure all of you will have a playlist of some kind. You want to make sure that these are songs that have the anointing on it for you. You know, maybe you're Southern Baptist. You just love the jams, you know. Maybe you're, Southern Gospel. Maybe you're Hillsong. Maybe you got Bethel. It doesn't matter what it is. You just got to make sure it touches the innermost parts of your heart and puts you in front of the throne. And this is what's going to happen. You turn that on. And let me just tell you something. God doesn't need the music, but you do. God doesn't need you to have the music in order to meet with you. But he realizes that we're people, we have distractions, we might have had a stressful day, things could be happening, there might be a lot on our plates, but you need it. It's just a way of focusing. What I do is I go to my lake. I have a 2.2 mile lake that's really close to my house. I begin walking and I put it in. I just begin walking slowly. I put the worship on. Sometimes on the first song, I get quickened. I'm crying by the first song. By the time the first note plays, I love those mornings. And then there's other ones where I come in and third song, fourth song, fifth, I'm singing along. I'm just faithful. I'm just waiting to be quick and enjoying God, worshiping him, blessing his name, singing the words if I know him. Sometimes I'm not singing the words. I'm just there. I'm waiting to be quick, and because it's worth it to me. Is it worth it to you? It's worth it to me. God knows you have a life, by the way. He's not going to keep you there 8 hours to wait to be quickened. Just so you know, he gave you a life. But you might have to wait more than 30 seconds is what I'm saying. Because we come into God's presence and we say our prayer list. And once we're done, we're like, I guess prayer's over, and we roll. Okay, so I'm talking about getting there for Jesus. Getting there to minister to his heart, not him just ministering to you. The great thing is that when you minister to him, you always get the benefit and you get way more than you gave. So you're in there and you're waiting, and maybe it's on the fifth song, on the second verse, and you're listening, and all of a sudden there it is. Oh man, the moment's happened. And that's the whole reason you came to pray today, was for God to manifest himself. You see, Jesus says it like this. He says, if you obey me and you love me, the Father and me will love you, and we will come and make our home with you, and we will manifest ourselves to you. You see, God's omnipresent, but he isn't omni-manifesting. He's omnipresent. He's here, but you don't need him just to be around. You need him to manifest, quicken your spirit, and manifest himself to you. And here's the last one, and what we're going to close on tonight, and then we're about to pray, and God's going to start healing people. The second way to do it is this. Never forget this. Never go into prayer without your Bible open. Say it again. Never go into prayer without your Bible open. 1 John 5:14 through 15. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God. There it is. If we ask anything according to His will, we know He what? He hears us. Some of y'all just need to know God's hearing you. You know, one of the biggest struggles I hear when people are coming and praying, they're not enjoying God's presence and they're giving up on prayer, it's because they're not even sure God's hearing them. You can be sure God's hearing you if you're praying His will. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked for. So this is what we're going to do. You come in and we got, put Psalm 23 up there if you would. Verse 1 through 3, this is our example. Man, I'm perfect on time tonight, Pop. Woohoo! This is our example. Psalm 23, 1 through 3. This is you opening up your word. Say you've been listening to the worship list and it's just not working this morning. Well, you got this. I'm showing you two surefire ways in order to be quickened every time and enter in God's presence and enjoy it. Because you might as well enjoy it, because we should be doing it every day. If it's something you got to do often, you might as well enjoy it. And the things that you enjoy, you tend to do more often and you tend to come back to. The things you do not enjoy, do you stick with them long? No. So you're going to open up the Bible. We opened up Psalm 23 this morning. You're out there, you're in the nature, maybe you're in nature. I encourage you, if you're a nature person, use nature. If you like driving in your car, get in your car and drive. You don't have to be the person who sits, gets on their knees, locks themselves in a 4x4 little bathroom and says, and starts to shake. I mean, you don't got to do that. You got to enjoy this time. You got to know what works for you. Are you a poet? Do you get out your journal and all of a sudden God starts speaking because you start writing? Or do you need nature? Whatever it is. I love nature. So what we do is we open Psalm 23, and this is what we're doing. This is really important. This is deep stuff, but I hope you'll get this. You let the word of God become the prayer. I'll show you what I mean. I'm searching for God's presence. I'm not opening the Bible in order to learn about the book of Psalms right now. It's a good thing to do. You have a different time to read to get educated by the history of the Bible and all that. That's not what you're doing. You're in a search for Jesus Himself. You're in a search for God's presence. So you're using the word as a passageway to Jesus. So you're waiting to be quickened. The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. Notice I'm reading slowly. I'm taking my time, and I might even repeat it. So the first line didn't do anything for me, even though I'm grateful He's my shepherd. So I'm going to go to the next one. I always have more than enough. That's beautiful. It's still not doing it for me right now. Verse 2. He offers me a resting place in His luxurious love. Oh, something's starting to happen in me. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace, the quiet brooks of bliss. Well, something happens to me right there. Man, you know why? Because I need some bliss in my life right now. I need some quiet place. I need some peace. I need a resting place. And what better resting place than in God's love? So you know what I do? I have found the quickening. It happened in verse 2. And I closed the Bible, because now the Bible has done its job. It's given me Jesus. Now it's no longer, you don't need to read the rest of the chapter. You don't need all that, because you weren't coming for that. You were coming to meet Jesus, and I found Him in verse 2. He quickened me because today, for some reason, I needed a resting place. I needed the places of bliss, and He told me I can have it. So what do? You carve out a pool, just like John 5, the pool of Bethesda, where they came and it said the angel came and stirred it. And the first person who came and jumped into that pool was healed every time. You see, every scripture of the Bible is a well. Every word is a well. And it goes deeper than you even know. It goes so deep that you could read the same scripture today, get something, and 20 years later you'll read it and get something else. It's so deep. And you go and you have found Him in that. You close it, and what do? You sink into the waters. of that pool.
Amen.
You close your eyes and you sink. You're my resting place. You start to repeat it. You're my resting place. You're my resting place. God, you give me peace. God, you give me peace. God, you're taking me to a place of bliss. God, I receive your bliss. I receive that happiness. I receive your luxurious love. Oh, God, I want your love. Oh, God, I need your love. Oh, God, what's starting to happen? Even as I'm saying this here, I'm feeling drawn in. I literally feel a pool coming in my spirit. I'm sinking. David said that he took me and he reached his hand down and he pulled me out of deep waters. And deep calls unto deep. There's a place that David would go. He'd plunge in. I hope you caught what I just said. So change your prayer life.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If today's message encouraged you, please share it with someone who needs to hear it. Stay up to date with new messages by becoming a subscriber today. To find events taking place or to give to Destiny Church, visit us at destiny217.org. At Destiny Church, you can find real, relevant relationships.